a pupil once brought to the philosopher Hegel a passage of the philosopher's writings and asked for an interpretation. Hegel examined it and replied, "When that passage was written, there were two who knew its meaning, God and myself. Now, alas, there is but one, and that one is God." Our Father, God, being the perfect being that He is, also has perfect memory. So, unlike us, who have very selective memories, and even those are all too often subject to lapses, decay, and afflicted with forgetfulness. But forgetfulness doesn't just happen to us. Often it is the result of our wills. We choose to forget, or even worse, willfully choose never to learn our history, ostensibly never then in danger of forgetting it. The Holy Bible is many things. Most importantly, it is God's Word. Though it can be classed as literature, it is not fiction. Though the few public schools in our land these days that actually use the Bible as a textbook teach it as literature, it is actually history. It is fact. One fact after another fact after another fact. It's all facts. It is the book of the history of the world, the history of the universe, the history of civilization. It is the record of God's gospel of rescue, of salvation of the entire cosmos. Centered on this planet, the only planet in all the universe with sentient life, centered in the early ages in a particular people group known today as the Jews, and in the later ages in another people group, those known recently as Christians, but since that term has been so mangled and diluted in meaning by the perversions, apostasies, and distortions of our modern secular culture, this people group is more accurately known as followers of Jesus. Father God arranged for the Holy Bible to be assembled book by book, letter by letter, through thousands of years, by hundreds of authors and secretaries and compilers, to become the holy, supernatural volume we have today. It's hardly just an old collection of valuable writings. It is a sword, a two-edged sword, that contains the very life, energy, and power of Holy Spirit. It is truly alive, and once opened, can reach out and grab the hearts and souls of anyone who reads its pages, to bring them to know the truth, to receive God's gracious and loving gift of salvation and eternal life through the merits of Lord Jesus, the Son of God, which is why this holy book is banned by all those who oppose God. They, by definition, thus oppose truth and all that is true. John, the one who wrote the Gospel according to John, and the three short letters titled 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, physically lived longer than any of the other original 12 apostles. His writings were composed after those of the other apostles, and they deal with threats that the early church had not before had to deal with. For by this time, a multitude of theories had arisen as to who and what exactly Lord Jesus was and is. Most believers by this time had never seen the actual risen Christ in the flesh, and even the first-hand memories of those who had actually known Lord Jesus while he still lived or had seen him after his resurrection were growing dim. Such a situation does the devil and his minions find irresistible. They jump in with a vengeance, sowing this perverted idea and that corrupted concept into any slightly unsure, slightly confused, slightly doubtful believer's mind, motivating and egging on others who had never been true believers and who had found bones to pick with certain believers, or customs they found objectionable or harmful to their businesses, these people were only too eager to gossip, wagging their tongues, sowing all manner of misinformation and disinformation about the reality of who and what Lord Jesus was and is. It is into this mess, this cauldron of confusion, lies, and deception, that John is moved by blessed Holy Spirit to send forth definitive warnings to the believers so they would not be deceived and their faith shaken. He reminds them and us in 1 John 2:24, you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. In other words, heed not. Don't pay any attention to all these other messages and theories of new knowledge or new revelations or supposedly just uncovered or rediscovered ancient knowledge about the nature of Christ Jesus and his mission to come to earth. Remember what the original witnesses testified. John then adds, if you do remain faithful to the original teaching, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. This fellowship is vital because it is in this fellowship with each other, all other believers, as one body of Christ, made up of many, many different individual believers. It is in this body of Christ, this fellowship of believers, that we, quote, enjoy the eternal life he promises. John warns the early church and us of these purveyors of death and destruction, these agents of hell. He coined the term antichrists. And what an apropos term it is. It describes exactly what these demonic agents and their willing human accomplices attempt to accomplish. Literally any and everything that is against the truth and honor of Lord Jesus and his people. Any and everything possible they did to stir up dissension, disunity, and division among God's holy people. So here in these letters, and in what became his magnus opus, the book of Revelation, actually titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ, John warns the believers of the first century all the way to us living in the 21st century to beware of these antichrist spirits, and culminating in a single human individual who will embody the devil himself as the ultimate antichrist, who will rule nearly in the entire world for 7 years, bringing death and destruction on a scale never before seen on this earth, except in the great flood of judgment in Noah's day. John is warning us, and he teaches the believers how to protect themselves from the onslaught of lies. He says next in verse 26 and 27, I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit, the anointing, teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is truth. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. This is the answer. Holy Spirit, the anointing of Holy Spirit, will teach us everything we need to know, when we need to know it, and cause us to remember everything we need to remember, when we need to remember it, if we remain in fellowship with Christ. So we can be assured that Holy Spirit will keep us grounded in the truth as long as we remain in fellowship with Christ. What does that mean? If we have believed in Christ, repented of our sin, asked Lord Jesus forgiveness, and then in grateful love and adoration for his gracious forgiveness, we give ourselves fully and completely to him and his service, holding absolutely nothing back, then we come into full fellowship with him, becoming one member, one part of his body, the body of Christ. As part of this body, we are necessarily in fellowship with all the rest of the body. If not, then we become a pimple, or the first cancerous cell, or a disease that injures, wounds, or sickens the body of Christ, those other members and parts of his body close around us. If we remain out of fellowship, we affect other members close by, and the diseased tissue will grow, possibly so large and deadly that a whole portion of the body would have to be amputated so that the rest could heal and recover. For it's not possible to remain in fellowship with the body of Christ and not stay in fellowship with Christ Jesus himself. For he is, by Holy Spirit, in each of us who are part of his body. And if we fight another member of the body, then are we not exactly like a cancerous cell that needs to be healed or cut out? Remaining in fellowship with Christ means we never willingly, never purposefully detach ourselves from living moment by moment in the very presence of Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus in our day-to-day lives. Always carrying about with us his very presence and thus his very authority and power as creator of the universe. Truly, if we fully realize fellowship in him, our influence wherever we go will be felt as the enormous power it is. Did you realize how powerful your prayers are truly supposed to be? So let them fly. Our situation in this very day and age is practically identical to that of the people John first wrote to. He might just as well have been writing directly to us 2,000 years later. Actually, in the fantastic providence of God, John was writing to us in 2021, probably without realizing it. Our demonically controlled society, particularly now, is doing everything it can to silence us and discredit Lord Jesus and his gospel. So exactly as John taught the first century believers, we in the 21st century must do likewise. God caused the history to be recorded. Believe it. Don't question it. Don't let any doubts become welcome mats for the devil into your lives. Rather, march forward speaking the truth wherever you go and witness the darkness recede from around you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for all of your servants, but especially today we thank you for John and for the great revelation that you gave him, greater perhaps than any other of your apostles, of your prophets. Thank you for that. Thank you for his warning. Thank you that we have fellowship with each other through our fellowship with you. Keep us secure in that. Never let us stray. For we pray in your name, for your glory, forever, Jesus. Amen.